KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. Yesterday's major power outage in Los Angeles was apparently caused by human error. The failure is being blamed on workers who cut through a bundle of wires, creating a short that triggered circuit breakers, cutting power to some 2 million people. Critics say the incident raises questions about the vulnerability of LA's power system. Farm workers were in Sacramento yesterday protesting what they say was employer intimidation to keep them from joining a union. A majority of workers at Jamara Vineyards near Bakersfield voted 2 weeks ago not to join the United Farm Workers, but the union is now asking state officials to review the election. Jason Margolis reports.
Before the vote, United Farm Worker organizers were projecting an easy victory in a contest they hope would revitalize organizing efforts. Two workers at Jamara Vineyards had died from heat stroke in the past year, and many grape pickers had complained to the union about working in the heat without proper shade or equipment. But when the votes were counted, the union lost. Grape pickers like 21-year-old Rosario Valenzuela said some workers were afraid to vote for the union because company foremen threatened them with losing their jobs or places to live.
If we supported or voted for the union, we were not going to have camps, like for people that came from Coachella or, you know, far away. And another thing that they said was that they were going to turn the table grape into wine grape. I mean, they have their people that work for wine grape and they're going to go in, so that means no job for us.
Vice President of Jamara Vineyards, John Jamara, said charges like these are ridiculous.
The workers in a free, fair, secret ballot election chose no union. That was their choice. No union. And the union is embarrassed, and they're trying to find scapegoats and make excuses for why they lost.
In response to the union's official complaint, the state's Agricultural Labor Relations Board said they will soon begin investigating contested ballots and allegations of intimidation. For the California Report, I'm Jason Margolis in Sacramento.
A federal judge in San Francisco has stopped the Bush administration's effort to log 2,000 acres in the giant Sequoia National Monument. The judge ruled that the government's scientific analysis was questionable. No word on whether the administration will challenge the ruling. And thousands of tourists turned out Monday for the opening of Hong Kong Disney. China's vice president called the $3 billion theme park, quote, an eternal festival for the Hong Kong people. In the wake of Hurricane Katrina, communities across the country are dusting off their emergency preparedness plans. Yesterday's power outage in Los Angeles was yet another reminder of what life could be like after a natural or man-made disaster. LA County is trying to prepare for the worst-case scenario, but that isn't always easy to do. LA Bureau Chief Alex Cohen explains.
In the main control room of LA County's Emergency Operations Center, different colored vests hang over many of the chairs. Each hue indicates a different staff role.
Yellow, your management. Green, I love that one. That's money. So they're the ones that have to make sure there's enough money in order to fund the disaster.
That's Lisa Podden, one of the senior managers here. LA County, he says, has handled more disasters than any other county in the nation. Earthquakes, wildfires, mudslides, riots, even a freak hailstorm. By law, Podden says, all California counties must have a standardized system which allows for a swift response to emergencies.
We have the standardized emergency management system, so we have a command and control system that we can actually set up. Maybe one of the things that happened in New Orleans was the fact they didn't have that, what I call the command structure. They didn't have an organization. We do.
But Saban says what L.A. County also has is people, a lot of them, 15 million by some estimates. And if a major disaster struck, that could make evacuation quite difficult.
You know what the freeways are like in Los Angeles, you know, so, I mean, they do jam up. It's just because of our size, that's really the biggest challenge. And we can't reduce the number of people in Los Angeles County.
Another huge challenge is the cost of preparing for emergencies. Take, for example, making buildings safe in the event of a major earthquake. It's a prudent move, but rarely ever a cheap one. Since the 1994 Northridge earthquake, the state has spent billions retrofitting more than 2,000 freeway overpasses. More than 8,500 unreinforced masonry buildings, those are the ones most likely to collapse in the event of a major quake, have been either retrofitted or demolished. But, says Professor William Petack of USC School of Policy Planning and Development, building owners will often only do the minimum amount of retrofitting required to avoid exorbitant costs. According to state law, all potentially dangerous hospitals must retrofit by the year 2013. But the total bill for those repairs is expected to be more than $40 billion. Because of the high cost, PTAC says, retrofit progress has been quite slow.
Many of them have moved forward. A number of them are trying to figure out how to get the resources to do the job, because some hospitals are, as we all know, in deep financial trouble in the state, and it isn't easy for them to go borrow money or take money out of their operations in order to retrofit structures.
In the event of a major disaster, first responders such as firefighters and police officers are well trained to act swiftly, but others may not be as well prepared.
Training is very problematic.
That's Richard Walden, president of an L.A.-based disaster relief organization called Operation USA. For example, Walden says, a few years ago, Operation USA conducted earthquake response training at 20 community health care clinics throughout L.A.
We tied down with Velcro their computers and their bookcases, anything that could be a danger in a shake. We went and trained their staffs.
He says they recently went back to the clinics to find that many of them had new employees who hadn't been trained yet. Computers and furniture had been moved around but not properly secured again. Walden says it's typical for agencies and individuals to lose sight of the fact that disaster could strike at any moment.
We don't have what the Southeast has, which is hurricane season every single year. There's no such thing as earthquake season, and we don't have typhoons and hurricanes here. So our disasters could be two decades apart or limited to, say, some floods and some cave-ins of highways or something like that. We get to be lackadaisical about it.
But Walden says we can't afford to be lackadaisical. A disaster on the magnitude of Hurricane Katrina could happen in L.A. According to the Southern California Earthquake Center, there's an 80 to 90% chance that an earthquake with a magnitude of 7.0 or greater will hit Southern California sometime in the next 20 years. For the California Report, I'm Alex Cohen in Los Angeles.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, September 13th. A production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation, committed to improving California's healthcare delivery and financing systems, on the web at chcf.org. Charitable Auto Resources, a full-service vehicle donation program management firm which helps nonprofit organizations increase their revenue. Online at charitableautoresources.com. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California.